Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the WDW Review podcast. If you're looking for custom, comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears, check out our designs or send us a message at magicalmaradesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined once again by Scott Ferrioli. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. A little chillier than you today. Well, what's your temperature down there?
Today, let me preface this by saying that yesterday's high was about 85.
Nice.
Today's high is we've already had the high. It's early in the morning right now, and the high already was 63, and the rest of the day is supposed to be around like 57 as the high.
Whoa, that's for Florida. Yeah. That's really cold.
It is. That's what I wanted to say. Like yesterday was 85 or so. Today is the one chilly day, and I think tomorrow is supposed to pop back up to like upper 70s again. But today is winter in Florida.
Well, Scott,
just the day. This is it.
Scott, I would gladly trade because my feel like temperature is -2. So if you want to trade, I'll trade mine for yours if you want.
No, I'm good.
You're good. Okay. Speaking of the cold temperatures, so I was watching some of the videos you posted in, you know, for buy and sell DVC and then your DVC dash rental about your holiday decorations at the resorts. And I know you're a big fan of Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Grand Floridian. Rank those three, number 1 through 3. What's the best? If I had one resort to go visit in Park Hop, which one should I go to for the holiday decorations?
It's a great question, and I've said this over the years. I'm changing it up right now. In the past, I've always been, and these are still the top three resorts, but Wilderness Lodge was always one. I liked Animal Kingdom Jumbo House as 2, Grand Floridian as 3. If you are visiting one resort, it's definitely got to be Grand Floridian.
Boom.
Wilderness Lodge is a great resort, and the whole theming of the resort goes perfectly with the holidays. You know, Pacific Northwest themed, you know, like everything wood, you know, wood carvings. I mean, it looks like a lodge. It's very, you know, cozy, and the term my mom uses all the time, she says it's packy. You know, it's a very nice, lodgy atmosphere, and it really does scream Christmas when you're there. But Grand Floridian was just so big and impressive. You know, a huge tree as well. Then they've got the gingerbread house where they're selling the gingerbread. And then there's a bunch of other trees all around the place. And when you're standing in the lobby and you look up at the other floors, you see a bunch of trees all over too. That, I mean, if you're doing one, it's a lot busier. But there's so much stuff going on there. Grand Floridian, I think, is number one that you definitely need to check out if you're going to pick one resort to visit for Christmas.
Okay, so my next question would be, when we've tried to get into the Grand Floridian, we have to tell them we've got reservations at, you know, 1900 Park Fair, or what's something you could tell the guy at the front gate to go and visit? Would they just allow you to say, hey, we're just going to look and take a look at the Christmas tree, or what do you say to get in?
Some resorts, they're always a little bit trickier. Obviously, I'm sure, as you know, it depends who you get at the gate when you're driving
true.
To get in.
So true.
Yeah. You know, we just did the whole monorail loop. So you know, you've got Contemporary / Bay Lake Tower, Polynesian, and Grand Floridian. I'll tell you right now, Bay Lake Tower, Contemporary is the toughest to get into out of all of them. Luckily, we know a lot of people who book their rooms through us who are staying there. So a lot of times we can name drop the people that we're going to visit or say hi to. So we have a little easier way to get in. You can tell a lot of times, so I would say Polynesian, Grand Floridian, easier to get into. I think Polynesian is probably the easiest to get into of the three. But you can normally just say you're going to pick up some food there, or you pick up something in one of the gift shops, whatever. Sometimes, depends how busy they are, you can just say, I want to take some pictures of the lobby, and they'll let you in. But especially during the holidays, when it is busier, it might be a little bit tougher. So I know a lot of people, not that I'm encouraging this, I know there are a lot of people who they schedule a dining reservation there a couple hours out, and then they cancel it when they get there. So that way they're allowed in there because they have a dining reservation. I'm getting in trouble for saying this.
You
stuff.
Are getting in trouble. This is like the underworld, the underbelly of dining reservations. Nice.
This is the Disney dark web right here. We just traveled into. I've never actually done this, but I know people who do this. They book a reservation, then they go to the resort, and then they cancel the reservation while they're there.
Gotcha.
And technically, if you just cancel it, they charge you $10 per person. But if you reschedule it for sometime later in the week, there are no penalties, and then they'll reschedule it, and then you just cancel that reservation. How did we end up down here?
This is what are you bringing to us now, Scott? The parking situation over at Bay Lake and Contemporary, is that because of the relocation to the Magic Kingdom and everyone says, oh yeah, I've got a reservation and now we can just walk over to the park?
That's the one that everybody want to stay at, because that's the one you can just walk right over to Magic Kingdom. So it's the easiest one, where everybody would just go, oh yeah, I'm visiting this or whatever. Everybody park there and just walk right to Magic Kingdom. So yeah, I think that's why they're the most strict. Polynesian, and there's not as much to see at, you know, Bay Lake Tower and stuff versus Polynesian and Grand Floridian. So I think that they know if people are going, oh, I'm just here to check out the lobby, they're like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they are definitely more strict there.
I remember that my wife and I once had a reservation at the Wave at the bottom of the Contemporary. And by the way, if you've not gone, really underrated, go check it out.
But yeah, I've gone once with one of our employees, Jeannie. We met her for drinks there, which was really nice. The only time I've ever been there, it was really nice.
It was really nice. I remember approaching the guy at the front gate, and I felt like I never felt so much pressure in my life. Yeah, no, seriously, we do have a reservation. It's under Malik at like 8 o'clock in the. I mean, it was.
Oh, and they check too.
They're never check. Like,
oh, you have a reservation? Come right in. No, they check to make sure. And again, I was mentioning somebody who I was meeting last time, and I had to say their name several times, and they were searching constantly. They couldn't find it, and they asked me for other people on the reservation, like name all the people on the reservation. I mean, they were really strict.
Now we're going to clean this up, though. If you are trying to get in and you're one of those people that are going to park and then try and go over to the Magic Kingdom, like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, you know,
just don't do that.
Don't do that. There's chaos everywhere, probably around Christmas time. So do the right thing. Take the right step. Pay the money. Or if you're staying on Disney property, you know, if you have an AP, it's going to be easy to park anyways. Do the right thing. Don't take a space like that, because then you soil the pool for everybody else, you know? So don't do that.
Yep. Just park at the ticket transportation center and hop on the monorail and you can go wherever you want.
No. That being said, those are 1 through 3. So if you had a sleeper, like let's say you're like, okay, I'm not going to make it over by Magic Kingdom. Let's say I'm staying, you know, I'm staying at Coronado, or I'm going to stay over at Saratoga. Where would be like a sleeper hotel that would surprise people that would have really cool decorations?
Personally, we were looking the other day. We went along Crescent Lake, but, you know, between the beach club, boardwalk areas, mm-hmm. both of those hotels are a little more understated, but still really, really nice. But, you know, Beach Club has the chocolate carousel in there. Boardwalk has the gingerbread house and trees, and they're both really decorated nicely. We did a couple recently. We went to Old Key West recently. Again, very light decorations. I was really surprised with how small the decorations were at Polynesian. They kept the Polynesian feel, which was nice, but there really wasn't that much going on at Polynesian. So those were a little more disappointing with Old Key West and Polynesian, but the resorts, Beach Club, and Boardwalk, really, really nice for the holidays as well. So I would highly recommend that. And also, it's decorated along the boardwalk too. So
nice. Very nice. Nice. Yep. So hang on there, Mr. DVC boy. Did you check out the Swan, the Dolphin, and the Yacht Club while you were there?
I did not.
Oh, beautiful. They're all beautiful. If you're looking for like a really cool, like 2 hours, and you want to get some ice cream at Ample Hills or you know, when Beaches and Cream reopens.
For the record, Ample Hills, really expensive, but so good.
So good. The ooey gooey butter cake.
I've ever had. Best ice cream I've ever had.
Yeah. Get the ice cream flight. But like, if you're looking for a free, cheap 2 hours, and I know when you say expensive, but like everything's expensive at Disney. Yeah. If you don't mind spending $20 for a couple scoops or a couple flights of ice cream, it's a really fun thing. And check out, don't overlook the Swan and the Dolphin. Beautiful. They're gorgeous at the holiday time too as well. So highly recommended.
Oh, excellent. I haven't made it there for the holidays. I need to check that out.
All right. So I got you back on today because the first time, a couple weeks ago, you were on discussing... I guess you would say giving a certain rating to attractions at the Magic Kingdom for people of size, right? So we were talking about how big guys and big girls would deal with certain attractions, the step in, the step out, the fitting. And I wanted to bring something up to you because I got some really good feedback. So let's get people back up to speed. Scott, heaviest at your weight was?
Why are we going to start with that?
We're going to start with that. We need to give some qualifications for our show. So how big were you at your biggest?
I'm not 100% sure. I'd probably ballpark 282, 285, something like that.
Okay. And your height?
6'1".
All right. 6'1". I'm about 6 foot and I was 242. But I got some feedback from a really good friend of mine, and he's a little bigger. So we're not going to mention any names, but I got a good friend who's slightly bigger, 6'3 and 350 plus. Okay. I got a couple of friends in that size. So one of the things he mentioned, and if I could just, I'm going to paraphrase his text here, is anything like the Hall of Presidents or PhilharMagic need at least 1 point deducted for the narrowness of the seats. No way either of those places or any place with seats like that should be a 5. They should be at least a 4. Think about a big guy on an airline seat, which is essentially what they are, where he can fit, but he's wedged in. He's a little uncomfortable. His arm, his love handle is touching the armrests. But you know what? It's valid. We thought about it in terms of 240 to 270. But there are people, 325, 350, 375. So everything that came from this feedback here is completely valid. So I think,
yeah, absolutely.
Today we're going to go through the other parts because I think if you combined Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Epcot, there wouldn't be, I mean, there's probably just the same number of attractions in those three parks as the Magic Kingdom alone. So we're going to identify, you know, still a number rating of 0 to 5, you know, as far as 5 being easy, no problem, 0 being danger, you know, Mr. Will Robinson. But we're going to also identify it as big guy, and then we're going to say double guy, you know, or double big guy, just to make sure we are clear for anybody who's even bigger than what we're talking about right now. So completely valid.
That sounds great. I mean, I'm sure, you know, we're sitting there, we're 6'1", 6 foot tall. So, you know, we're trying to do it based on us and based on what somebody's a little bit taller. But obviously, you know, somebody who's 6'8" is going to be a lot different than us. And, it, you know, we're trying to ballpark exactly where we're going to be, you know, with everything. But, you know, and sometimes it's tough because, you know, you don't know everybody's situation and everybody's built differently. So just we'll do our best to try to do big guy and double big guy and hopefully do it justice.
Do it justice. All right. So first park, Animal Kingdom, and we're going to take care of some easy ones quickly, okay? Because, in fact, we know there's going to be a problem. And I guess the one that comes to mind is going to be Flight of Passage.
Yep.
All right. So I have two friends, both Peter, co-host, 6'6", and my buddy Tim, who is about 5'10 or so, but close to – he's past 325. And Peter, depending on if he's on a diet or not, can range from 260 to 280 and 250 to 280. So both of them were able to go on Flight of Passage, but it wasn't without stress. That ride seems to be one of the bigger bugaboos in terms of riders with size. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So your experience with Flight of Passage?
Personally, I have no issues with it. With 6'1", no problems at all. I'm gonna mention this. I wear a size 12 sneaker, and I've heard that people sometimes with larger feet, it kind of, because you're supposed to like scoot your feet up in there. I've heard if you have larger feet, the way it kind of like pushes you back, and if you have larger calves and legs, which I don't really have larger calves or legs, it can cause a lot of problems. So even if you're not a really big person, but if you happen to have bigger legs, it causes a lot of issues. So I've heard that if you're taller, it's a big issue, or even if you're 5'2", but you have, again, bigger calves, maybe in thighs, the restraints won't close on you.
Gotcha.
I haven't had issues with it at all.
Well, you know what they say about guys with bigger shoes, right, Scott? They need bigger socks, right?
They do. Luckily, socks stretch, though.
Right. Okay. Very good. Yes. What are you thinking? Where do you go with that?
I'm just going anywhere.
Terrible. All right. The Navi River Journey.
We didn't give it a number yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, that was assumed it was going to be trouble.
We're right in.
This is terrible. All right. The Flight of Passage, your number.
I'm going to put it as a 3 because it can go either way. A lot of people aren't going to have any issues. But again, there are specific people that definitely have issues. And I've seen a lot of people online have issues with the ride. So I put it as a 3, maybe even a little bit less. It's a tough one. It depends.
Okay. Double big guy.
double big guy, it's going to probably put it as a one. And because truthfully, the way I'm sure you've been on the ride, it also kind of locks you in where it pushes you down, almost kind of like you're riding a motorcycle, not like, you know, sitting up riding a Harley where you're leaning forward, riding a little crotch rocket, as they call them. So it holds you down. So you have to also be comfortable sitting in that position as well. So for a bigger person, you know, double big guy, it's probably going to be a one.
Okay. You,
if you can even get on it, you know, they, a lot of people have to do the walk of shame on that ride.
Correct.
So it's not like you're going to be uncomfortable and you just got to suck it up. You might not be able to ride it.
You alone are the voice of reason for this, because you mentioned, but it's not true. I've not been on the attraction. I've not even been in Pandora yet. That show's the last time I was at Animal Kingdom.
Really?
So it's been, I hope to resolve that shortly, but yeah, I have not been to Pandora.
Oh, wow. You have to go when you come down here.
Mm-hmm. Navi River Journey.
That one's open seating. It's 2x2. There's a decent amount of room. I'm trying to think leg, knee room in front of you. I don't think it's a big one. I'm trying to picture, you know, for me, it's a five.
Okay.
I'm trying to think that double big guy. I'm going, it could be a four. I think you'd probably have to be pretty tall for it to really cause much of an issue.
Is there a step down? I guess it's inherent with any kind of boat ride.
I think with the boat ride, yeah, there is maybe a small. Yeah, I think there is a step down. There is a step down on the ride.
Okay.
So mobility issues, it could possibly cause an issue. I mean, I don't think it's too bad. I put it as a four or five for most for us who are bigger guys. If you're a double big guy, maybe three to four area.
Okay. Festival of the Lion King.
It's bench seating, so I put it as a five. I mean, again, if you've got really big, if you're really, really tall and you're, you have 6'6", 6'8", you know, you might be fine. The person who's sitting in front of you with your knee in their back might not be thrilled.
or behind you, not seeing.
Not seeing anything, but no, you know, since it's an open air bench seating, you know, theater, I'd put that as a five.
The Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Kilimanjaro Safaris. I'm going to put that one as a four. Reason being, you know, you could fit five people in the row, bench style seating, but sometimes my knees could be touching the seat in front of me, and a lot of times you're hitting bumps and, you know, on the ride. So I've hit my knee on the seat in front of me before. So I'll put that as a four. But if it, for wider people, shouldn't be too bad as long as you're not squishing a lot of people in there. But for tall people, that one, I probably put that as a two or a three, because you're going to have to kind of sit a little spread eagle or put your legs to the side to try to be comfortable with the seats right in front of you.
Yeah, good point for the double big guy. Gotcha. Yeah. So getting over to Rafiki's Planet Watch, the Wildlife Express train, the actual vehicle itself to get there.
That's bench seating as well. There are seats in front of you. I'd probably put it similar to Kilimanjaro. I can't remember how tight it is. It might be a little tighter than Kilimanjaro, but I'm not 100% sure. I mean, for me, I haven't had an issue with it. I put it as a five, but for double big guy, you might be in that three range where you're spreading your legs open or off to the side.
Is that the one where you sit astride? You don't actually sit facing the direction?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you're going there sideways, so you're watching kind of like the show in front of you. There's a lot of times it's just trees and stuff, but you are going like backstage where they have like the veterinary areas where you can see sometimes like rhinos and stuff out like in little pens and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're sitting sideways while you're going to the Fiki's Planet Watch.
Anything on the Discovery Island trails to be concerned about?
Besides there being a lot of walking, I don't think there's not much that would cause any issue on any of the trails. Everything's pretty open. I'm trying to think. Everything's pretty open, so I can't imagine as much. I mean, besides walking.
We should state that in every park, the average step amount is going to range between, even on the lightest walking days, on a normal pace, is going to be at least 6 miles up to 10, 12, 14 miles in a day. So that is the expected amount of walking to do on that day, especially when you consider you're going to hit more than a mile, mile and a half, or 2 miles before you even enter the park. Because when you leave your room and you walk down the stairs or walk through the path and take the bus, then walk in the parking lot and get out, it's those steps get up there pretty quickly. So I guess we should say, yeah, it's going to mean a lot of walking no matter what.
Yeah, and that's why they say calories don't count while you're at Disney.
You burn them off quickly.
Yep.
Okay, what about the It's Tough to Be a Bug show?
Tough to Be a Bug Show.
This is theater now.
Yeah, this is the theater. Where this is normally where last time I said was a five, no real issues. But for Double Big Guys, this could be in that, you know, three area where it's a little tight on the sides, or you might have to spread your legs out a little bit. Or I think there's a decent amount of room in front of you. But I think just because there are handles on the side of each seat, you know, like on an airplane where you have to squeeze yourself in there. For a Double Big Guy, this could be probably a three. And, you know, what your buddy was talking about, this is the exact situation.
Mm-hmm. The Great Bird Adventure, the Up Show.
The Up Show, again, outside seating, bench style, I put that as a five. You should have plenty of room with that one.
Yeah, that one I can't even think for Double Big Guy, it wouldn't be a five.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, again, really, really tall. Eventually, there's maybe a person sitting in front of you, but I'm sure if you put your legs out, if you're 6'8", mm-hmm. you know, you'd probably be okay. But for Double Big Guy, I mean, you're probably good on that ride.
Maharaja Jungle Trek, just walking, so not an issue yep. there, but there are steps involved. What about the Kali River Rapids?
Kali River Rapids. I haven't done it in a while. You've got to step down into the raft.
And there is a seat belt, and the seat is yeah. fixed. So it's, I mean, there's no handles, but it
there's
is.
That's the thing. Actually, I think that's the way we should mention it, is that since there's no handle, so you're not squeezing in there, but you're squeezing next to another person. So if you're a Double Big Guy, you may not be comfortable having somebody like myself sitting next to you. So, you may need to sit by yourself on that one if it's, you know, kind of like a double seat, but there's nothing stopping between you, or you might have somebody thinner next to you, because otherwise you might be kind of squished on top of each other in there.
Good point.
So I double big guy put that as probably a three.
Yeah, maybe even a little less than that because of that factor. If you have another person of size, or, you know, standard size, it's going to be a tight fit.
Yep.
Expedition Everest.
I'm trying to think of the lap restraint on Expedition Everest.
It's a waste one.
Is it a waste one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. This
is narrow.
And that's what it says. I personally never had an issue with this. However, I know it's more of a narrow ride. So for Double Big Guy, this one could be a big problem, I would think, especially if there's two of you trying to get in together. I mean, this could be a two to a three. I mean, if you're by yourself, you're probably fine, you know, because there is enough room for two people in there. But it you know, it's a roller coaster. They are trying to hold you in there. So it's definitely a little more restrictive. So I'd probably put that as like a two or a three.
Okay, the Nemo Musical.
Nemo Musical. Again, it's theater-style seating. I'm trying to think. Actually, Nemo Musical, I can't remember if there's seats in that. I've only done the Nemo Musical once.
Ooh, good point. I'm trying to recall. I
can't remember if it's bench-style or if it's individual seats.
Yeah, ooh. You know what? I'm
looking at the wife. She thinks she's leaning towards individual. She's leaning towards bench-style.
Okay.
But we're not sure.
Okay.
I only did it once. I know we didn't have any issues. I don't think whether it's we're not professionals here. I put that as a four to a five. I don't think there's any issues, but for double, you know, if you're a Double Big Guy, I put it maybe still as a four. I think you'll still be okay, but I'm not 100% sure. That one's a little trickier because I can't remember the exact seating on Nemo.
Gotcha. Triceratops Spin. It holds two. It's a spinning ride, just like Aladdin and Dumbo. Think there's a problem.
You think there's a problem?
No. Do you think there's a problem?
I think there's a problem. I was like, all right, you lead with that one, because I don't think that one's too bad. It's similar to like the Dumbo ride, as you mentioned. For a Double Big Guy, I mean, you should be fine taking it by yourself, or, you know, if you're with a kid, you're fine. Two double big people are not going to be able to fit in there, but Disney's not going to probably try to squeeze you in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be one of the rides, though, that you also – I don't think it's going to spin you fast enough that you really have to worry about sliding too much. I mean, you may have to watch a little bit if you're with a little kid. You know, worry about, you know, being a centrifuge and kind of pinning them. But I think that's probably a four or five. You do have to step into it. But, I mean, I think that's probably, even for a Double Big Guy, you're probably perfectly fine. I mean, it might be a little tight in front of you. If you're by yourself, you know, you'd be spreading your legs out anyway. But I put that as you probably safe with a four or five.
Perhaps the opening could be a problem, because you have to kind of slide into an opening and step up in. That might be the only challenge.
That's a good point. Like we did with the Winnie the Pooh ride, that one's relatively easy, but there is that small opening that kind of, if you're a little bigger, it's kind of hard to get through.
Yeah.
So yeah, that you're absolutely correct. That small opening, the Triceratops Spin could definitely cause an issue mm-hmm. as well.
Primeval Whirl.
Primeval Whirl, which is now running periodically.
Seasonal, yes.
Seasonal, yep. Yeah. That's one I want to specify. I'll put that as a five with a little clarification. That one's there's four people in a car. It's double lap bar, so two people are in one lap bar, two people are in the other lap bar. That is one that you do kind of slide into the person next to you, so you got to be careful who you've got with you if you're a bigger person. That also works a lot better because it's one lap bar going over the two of you. That if you know if you're mom and dad and two little kids, put mom and dad together so that way you're a little more similarly sized, so the lap bar will kind of cover you. And the one lap bar will go over both kids because, you know, if I sit there and when I was bigger, if I had my little guy next to me, the lap bar goes down to my belly and then he's got a ton of room there. I mean, gotcha. It's not like you're going to go flying out, but that's one that, you know, if you're better off putting two similar sized people together if possible and like if there's little kids, put them together. So that way the lap bar kind of goes accordingly with each group.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. Really good to keep the bigger size or the same size people together.
And just sliding in that one. So mm-hmm. Also, you know, you don't want to crush your little kid, which I've probably done before.
Well, depends on the kid's behavior that day. But anyways, yeah. Moving on. The dinosaur attraction. Last one at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, I love dinosaur.
I love it
dinosaur
too.
Is great. Dinosaur is great. Not really. I mean, there's you're wearing just a regular like car seat belt, like just lap seat belts across you on that one. So not a huge issue. It is can be a little tight. There's four of you per row. You're not going to be sliding into anybody, but you know you could be kind of going – again, like if you're on an airplane, you could be kind of going across somebody else's seat if you're a double big person. And the seat in front of you is a little bit tight, so you can be banging your knees on that. I know I've done that before as well. So for – well, you know, I'm a bigger guy. I put it at a four or five. A double big guy, that's probably a two or three because, again, you got to worry about the people really tight next to you, yeah. And there's not a lot of room in front of you as well.
Yes, exactly. Good points. All right, moving to the studios. We're going to go to the headliners first, and of course, well, we're going to avoid Star Wars for right now. That'll be the end. But Rock and Roller Coaster.
Rock and Roller Coaster, again, if the step down to the vehicle, it's a harness restraint that goes over top of you. So I've never had an issue with it. I mean, it's a small, like, little capsule thing that they're holding you in there. So I've never had an issue. I'll say it's probably about a four, but as a double big guy, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody have an issue with it, but I can understand it. It could be tight, especially, I would say, probably on the sides because you have your individual lap bar. So I think that is adjustable. I don't know if it's going to cause much of an issue. I mean, I put that as probably a three because it can be tight in there. I don't think I've ever had to see anybody do the walk of shame on it, but I'm sure it's been done before. Mm-hmm. But I put that maybe as like a three for a double big guy.
Yeah, I agree. It give or take, depending on how your body's constructed, something like that could be a challenge. Yep. The Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror. Again, more. I don't want to say bench style seating. It kind of is though. I mean, you got your seatbelts there, but it's
no arm bar.
Like open.
Yeah.
No arm bar. It says seatbelt, just lap restraints. Just like, yeah. So I don't think we have a problem with that. I put that more of. That might be five.
Yeah, that's a four and a half to five.
Yeah, four and a half to five sounds pretty good. For double big guy, maybe. I don't think that one's too bad. I'd still put that as a four and a half. We'll say four and a half to five still. Even for double big guy, I should be fine with that,
Completely agree. The Beauty and the Beast stage show.
Beauty and the Beast stage show, outside amphitheater. So I don't think there should be any issues at all. I'd put that as a five. I mean, maybe there's people in front of you, and if you're really, really tall, you have to move your legs a little bit, but I'd still put that as a five. There's lots of space.
Gotcha. Let's lump these two together. The Disney Junior Dance Party, The Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
A little bit trickier. Voyage of the Little Mermaid, again, bench seating, no real issues at all, except maybe you're a little tall that could be hitting the person in front of you. No issues. The dance party, actually, this is the dance party. This is not the regular show, correct?
Correct.
Dance party should be perfectly fine as you're standing.
There's no seating. There's no seating.
Yeah, there's no seating. I was sitting there. I was picturing the Playhouse Disney show that they have there, and I was going, that one's a really trickier one because it's pretty much everybody has to sit on the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only a few benches in the place, so it's really not that accommodating. And I have to sit there for like 15, 20 minutes on the floor, and a lot of times my wife would just sit there on the floor with the kids. A lot of times I would just sit in the back on one of the benches just because I'm not comfortable just sitting like Indian style, you know, legs crossed on the floor with people all around me. It hurt my back. It was a pain to try to get, you know.
How old are you, Scott? What are you, 60? For criminy crickets. What are you?
I feel like I'm 60 sometimes.
All valid points.
Now that I lost some weight, I feel better. But back then, I felt 60.
Yeah. How about the launch bay? Anything to be concerned about in the launch bay?
In the launch bay.
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, that's the. I think that. We never watched. I'm trying to think. I've never even been in there.
You've been in the store, but not the movie.
I'm trying to think the launch bay. I'm like, I've never actually been in there.
It's meet and greets and stuff along those lines. It's obviously.
Yeah, I've just gone like I've gone. Sort of like it's a Star Wars launch bay, right?
Yeah, you meet BB-8. Yeah, you can meet Darth Vader. You can meet stuff like that.
That's gonna be a five. I've not a big character person, so I've never actually gone and met the characters. But I've walked through and I've looked at like the armor of the stormtroopers and Vader and Kylo Ren, and I've looked at the pictures and the speeder and everything. But it's a walking experience, so should be absolute five. Yeah,
gotcha. How about Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones bench style seating as well. I put it as a five. Again, you could have people in front of you. Again, if you're 6'8", there could possibly be an issue. But again, that should be a five as well. It's pretty good for big guys.
So far, Hollywood Studios is big guy friendly so far.
Yes, it is.
So far. Yep. How about Star Tours?
Star Tours. Okay. So smaller individual seats. You get the lap bar restraint in front of you.
Is it a seatbelt?
It's a seatbelt.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, I know when I walk through the rows, sometimes I have to walk sideways to kind of scoot through because there's not a lot of room between you and the seat in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and they're higher, so I have to scoot sideways. So while I've never had an actual problem like sitting down and going on the ride, if you've got mobility issues or you're a little heavier, trying to squeeze through the row, I think would probably cause the biggest concern or possibly. Getting the seat next to you,
the seat being next tight. To you.
Yeah, I'm like the seat next to you. I'm trying to picture a double big guy airline seat, kind of going over onto the seat, encroaching onto the seat next to them. Whenever you're outside and you're in a bench style seat, you can always leave room. That's not a big deal. But when there's a certain amount of seats in a row, and you're going, all right, I'm gonna have somebody next to me, and I could be encroaching onto their seat as well. I mean, I might put that for mobility issues or for double big guy, I might put that as like a three. But for me personally, besides trying to like scoot through because there's very little room to walk, it's a five for the ride itself.
Gotcha. I think the best point about that is, correct, the person next to you might be impacted more than you if you're a double big guy.
Correct, yeah.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Muppet Vision 3D.
Muppet Vision 3D. Inside theater seating again. So I've never had an issue. I put it as a five. As a double big guy, it's been kind of been pointed out to us a little bit. You're going to have armrest next to you, so you have to kind of squeeze in there a little bit. So for double big guy, put that maybe as like a 3.5 to 4. But I've never had an issue with it, so personally, I'd go with a 5.
Okay. We're going to take two of these at a time here because I think they're similar. I think the Alien Swirling Saucers and the Slinky Dog Dash, I think they – well, obviously, they're not similar in design at all. But I think in terms of sizing, they're pretty similar.
Okay. I haven't done Swirling Saucers yet. Love Slinky Dog, though.
Mm-hmm.
Slinky Dog, again, it's a step into the car, step down into the car. It's two per row, seatbelt style. I think seatbelt style across? Gosh, it's been a while. But I've never personally had any issues with it. I mean, again, if you're trying to squeeze two double big people in there, it's not going to work out. If you're a double big guy, it's one of those rides you're probably going to want to do it, in your car by yourself. I'll rate it a four. If you're a double big guy, I'd put it down as a three.
Three, yeah. Toy Story Mania, in my mind, actually is about a four across the board, maybe 4.5 for both big and double big. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Again, you've got the little bar that comes down over both of you, but it's not like there's much spinning or you're moving really fast where you got to worry about sliding. So it's, it's a bench for two people, and I put it as 4.5 or so. Sounds pretty good.
Okay. Smuggler's Run, I don't see anything. Do you see a problem with Smuggler's Run of anybody of size?
No, Smuggler's Run should be perfectly fine. You've got your own seat. There should be no issues at all that I could think of for Smuggler's Run.
How about Rise the Resistance? Have you been on it yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I haven't made it yet, so I can't really speak of that one. I've heard such amazing things about it, but I haven't been on it, so I can't say about how it's going to fit for like a regular person, double big person. So I don't really know. And truthfully, I've been trying to not look at anything because I want to be surprised by it.
You know, I can't. You and I are cut from the same cloth. I'm the exact same way. I know what the ride vehicle, I know what the mechanism is. I don't want to watch videos of it. As a matter of fact, I was avoiding, I've got a really good friend of mine called Mark Eddington who has Things I Love, who literally went to Disneyland Paris, and we're going to be going to Disneyland Paris in a little bit. And I so want to support Mark and watch him, but I don't want to watch anything to spoil it ahead of time. So, yeah, we don't want to spoil these things.
Well, that's the thing. Ty went out and apparently shot some really great video from the ride that we're going to be throwing up on YouTube sometime soon, and I am not watching it. Yeah, I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to look at the video before it. I'm just going to post it. Like, hey, I've heard it's great video. I've heard it looks great, but I am not looking at it.
Gotcha. Now, let's jump to Epcot. It's our last one, and I would like to say all the movies are the same, but it's completely different because before the Canada film gets the update, which is going to be called mm-hmm. Canada Forever, going to start Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara as the narrators. Martin Short's out of this one. That was a standing version right now. So you would literally stand in the rows and they have these standing benches and they warn you not to sit on them. So that's a 5 for in terms of standing, though it's a 1 in terms of comfort at the Canada show.
Yep, agree completely.
The movie in France, that is a theater-style seat. So all the restrictions of theater-style seat with the narrow arm bars would apply here. Big guy, about 4, 4.5, double big guy, 2.5 to 3. Would you agree there?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay, Scott, so what about the China Pavilion? Does that look like the others, or is it something different?
Well, China's the same as Canada, so you're going to be standing up, so that should be a 5 as well.
And a 1 for comfort.
And yes, exactly.
A 1 for comfort. One for comfort. Okay. The Frozen ride, the boat attraction in Norway.
The Frozen ride. It's Pirates of the Caribbean type style seating almost. You know, it's a boat. You step down into it, bench across. I've never had an issue with it. I'd say probably 4.5 to 5 for us, for a double big guy. You're fine across, I would think. I'd be more worried about a tall guy who's going to be hitting their knees on the row in front of them. So if you're a really tall guy, I'd put probably as about a 3. You know, if you're 6'6" or taller, you may start having some uncomfortable issues unless you move your legs to the side.
Okay, so that brings up a point. We're not quite sure of all the boat sizes because I'll go back to my feedback. Okay, so one of the things is that it was referring to the Small World boat ride. And even though Small World is a bench, my butt and my back seat me just a bit further forward on the bench, and that makes my legs have to be splayed out. I don't have much of a problem in the Three Caballeros or Pirates. It's just the Small World. So these boat rides can be different. If it's a matter of 3 to 4 inches, that's all the difference in the world. So we're not exactly sure how that would impact a standard, I don't want to say standard, but a big guy, you're right, probably a 4.
I remember Small World being tight for me as well, so I feel that's a little tighter. I feel like this one, again, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure this is a little bigger than Small World with the seat in front of you, but not 100% sure. And then I think you're okay.
We're going to use his words because he just talked about the Three Caballeros, and he said not a problem. So we're going to say that Tres Caballeros is 5s across the board because I have it from...
It's double big guy approved already.
From the source that it's a 5. All right, we got a few more to go. Test Track. And can I just say, I want to give a shout out to Test Track. And I know I may have said differently on previous shows. You know, I just love that attraction. That is so much fun on Test Track. And the Radiator Springs Racers, which is the updated version in California Adventure. Test Track's one of the more enjoyable rides at Epcot. I'm a fan.
I still miss the old Test Track over the one that they do that's got like the Tron look to it. I like the old Test Track that they had.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan.
Well,
I love the ride itself is great. It's just I don't like the new overlay that they did several years ago. Personally, I like the other one better.
I'm surprised at that because the interactive feature saves the whole attraction. It gives you something to do in not only to look at the cool things from GM and in the engines and whatnot, but when you can design your own vehicle, that saves the whole attraction. And they've got a really cool. Check out the background loop on YouTube. It's such an energetic upbeat, and it reminds me of a new version of an old Epcot song, if that makes sense. It is really fun, so check that out. Sizing, though. There's 3 across.
Three across. You have your own seatbelt going across. You have to step down into the ride. Some mobility issues could possibly be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, 6'1", little bigger. I've had my knees close to the front. I don't think I've ever hit them, but they're pretty close. I mean, again, 6'4" or bigger could have some issues with that. And also with them being kind of, everybody kind of close to you, I can see if you're a double guy that this could be like a 3 or 2.5 or something like that. Cause there's not a ton of room in there. You are kind of wedged in 3 in a row. It depends who you've got next to you. It's one of those things that you mentioned before. You could be, you know, encroaching on the person's next to you seat and kind of get hit in the front as well. So it could definitely be tighter. As my size, I put it as a 4 to a 5, but I could definitely see where this could cause problems.
So if you're a double big guy at any of these attractions, cast members are there to make sure you have an enjoyable time. They're also there to make sure that your guests around you are going to have an enjoyable time. And simply explain to the cast member, say, I'm a rider of size. Say, I don't know if the person's going to fit well. They're there. They're going to accommodate you. So don't be concerned about that. They're there to make sure you enjoy your experience. And it is what it is. And just explain it. And they'll be cool about that.
Yeah, it's... Disney's, from somebody who just came back from Dollywood, which is wonderful, by the way. Somebody just came back from Dollywood. Disney is so much more accommodating than Dollywood with rides and everything for being bigger people. And we saw somebody who wasn't able to do one of the rides. They left and they were complaining, saying that we actually heard them complaining, saying how much better Disney was, that they could fit on all the rides, but they couldn't. They had problems on a bunch of the rides at Dollywood. Mm-hmm. So Disney's very good with stuff, but Chris is absolutely right. You know, if Disney will accommodate you. You know, if you sit there and say, I'm a little bit bigger, you know, can I not have somebody right next to me? You know, they'll work with you. So Disney's great with that.
Correct. Make sure it's known and do it in the right way. Work yourself in a fashion where it's not an argument. Just explain. Explain politely and they'll accommodate you.
Oh, yeah. Disney's great.
All right. So my robot arms are flailing in a danger, Will Robinson mode here. And the pun's intended for Mission Space. Let's go with a big guy and then a double big guy.
Big guy. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the ride. I've done it a couple times. The whole ride is kind of claustrophobic and you feel like you're really locked in there. Mm-hmm. I've never had any issues personally. I put it as probably as a 4, but as a double big guy, I figure this is, this could be 2 or 1.5 or something, because you've got people right next to you. You've got stuff that's enclosing in on your legs, and the ride is just encompassing. It is on top of you. So as you're a double big guy, I could feel like that you would just have no room to move in that ride.
Sure.
So that one could have lots of problems.
The sheer size, the way some people's body is designed, you know, between a massive chest, you know, for a guy, like, you know, a round belly and a large, torso, when they close that capsule down on you, you just may not physically be able to move your arms up there. So yeah, this one might be a 1 or 1.5. So be forewarned about Mission Space. Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth. So you 2x2 seats, mm-hmm. easily can step into, no issues. I'm trying to think if you're really – you've got a decent amount of room. So
yeah, I don't see a problem here.
I was trying to think – I was like if you're double big sized, as long as you don't have somebody who's equally double big next to you, you're fine. I'm there any issues with like my knees hitting or anything. So I think you're probably pretty fine unless you're really, really tall. So I put it as a 5. If you're really, really tall, maybe you're down to like a 4 or something, but you should be fine. It's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of anybody complaining about the size restrictions on Spaceship
Earth. The thing is, right now I'm double thinking everything because I'm going, I got double big size. Okay, if this guy's like 7'2", then he's, I've never had an issue, but I'm sure somebody has an issue out there, but I think we're covering most of them by going, it's probably a 5.
Scott's like, okay, so if a forest giant came walking into the park, 9 feet tall and 4, okay, only a few more. So Turtle Talk with Crush, no problem. It's a bench. You're good there, except the person behind you might be an obstructed view if you're exceptionally tall. Yep. How about the actual Nemo attraction, the actual clamshell vehicle?
Okay, that's a very interesting one. That ride, because it's two-seater, you know, two-person per seat, the clamshell comes down, it's in front of you. I normally have to sit with my knees towards the center of the clamshell a little bit. So if you're tall, I'll put that as a 4 for me. But if you're a double big person or especially tall, that one could be a 2, because that is definitely really close to your knees. So if you're tall or if your proportions are kind of pushing you up a little bit in the seat as well, you know, that one could definitely be impactful on your knees and be uncomfortable.
Now, this is one to be careful of as well, because it's designed like the Haunted Mansion, and it's designed like the Mermaid.
Little Mermaid, yep.
So it's on a moving belt. And so just be aware that you're going to need to get in, not quickly, and they're going to be considerate. If they see impending trouble, they're going to go and make sure they slow the belt down, slow the ride down, or even stop it, you know, in order for you to board. But there is a moving factor to this ride. Two left here. Do you vote Living with the Land? Do you see any issue with Living with the Land?
Living with the Land, if they step down into the ride, bench-style seating, not normally an issue at all. Again, it's one of those things that, again, if you're really tall, you're going to have the seat right in front of you. But typically, this is, I'd say, a 4.5 to 5. I've never had any issues with it. It's pretty accommodating.
Across the board, I think, though. Yeah. I think so as well. How about the Soarin' attraction?
I've never had an issue on Soarin'. I definitely could be an issue for double big guys, because there are individual seats with lap bars, and there is like a small divider between you and the person next to you. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see that if you're a little bit wider, that could definitely be an issue. You're not, you know, there's no issues with taller. You know, there's nothing in front of you, so you're perfectly fine. But it is going to be, you know, people on top of each other and putting people next to you that could be, they could be affected by you, or possibly the small sidebars could be kind of pushing up against your hips.
Yeah.
If you are a double big guy,
it is literally a sidebar. It's like a pipe, essentially, you know, kind of a funny shaped pipe. So you couldn't rest your arms, but it is a divider. You're exactly right. Okay. So we're down to just our last one here. The Journey into Imagination. Any issues there?
Imagination? Not really. I mean, again, it's, you fit technically four in the back, as we'll say. It's bench style seating, so you should be perfectly fine. If you're really tall, there is going to be the seat right in front of you, or, you know, we'll say the person in front of you or the front of the ride vehicle is going to be there hitting your knees. I haven't had an issue. Again, if you're really tall, 6'6" or so, you may have to sit sideways, but it's a bench style seating, so you should probably have room to be able to curve your legs in a little bit. But I put it as a 5. If you're really tall, you might be down to a 4, maybe 3.5 or so, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. All good. You know, it's worth mentioning this. Let's lump them together. Monorail, mm-hmm. bus, ferry boat, launch. Any issues with riders of size and any of those on the transportation devices or methods?
I would think all of them don't really have seats in front of you too much. I mean, if you're really tall, if you're taking the bus and you're facing forward, you could have an issue with the seats in front of you. A lot of the seats are sideways on the buses, so if you're taller, try to get one of the sideways seating mm-hmm. Facing seats, so that way at least you can move your legs out in front of you. But, I mean, Disney's very good, so all of them I put it as a 5. I mean, there's rare circumstances that it could be a little bit less if you're a double big guy, but again, they will have seats that will be a 5 for you. It's just whether or not you can get one of those seats. Like, if you're really tall and you're sitting in a regular, like, bus style with a person right in front of you, it could be a little uncomfortable. But if you get the side seats, you're 100% fine.
Yeah.
So if you're flexible, 5 no matter what.
Here's what we've learned today. There's only been a few attractions that have really given us pause. You know, the Mission Space attraction, Everest. There's only been a few, Flight of Passage. There's only a few attractions that really give us hesitation. So we can really see, I'm going to compare it to my local park here, which is Six Flags Great America in, you know, mm-hmm. in Northern Illinois. If you are if you're a double big guy, half that park is off your list immediately. They have chest restraints, you know, which I know I have friends that aren't 3.25. They're 275 that struggle. So, but Disney is super accommodating. They're good at what they do, and they've designed this. Remember, Walt's whole idea in creating Disneyland was he wanted to create attractions that the entire family could ride together. So, you know, though body sizes really haven't changed, it was considered when they were designing a lot of these attractions. We want the entire family, from dad to the 3-year-old, to be able to ride these attractions together. So there are obviously height restrictions, 40 inches and above, but Walt Disney World, Disneyland, super accommodating to riders of size.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, buddy. If anyone has any questions or has said, hey, when you were at your biggest, did you have a problem with this? What's the best way for them to find you, Scott?
You can always find me on Facebook. It's Scott Ferrioli, Ferraioli. Mm-hmm. Or if you want, you always shoot me an email. It's Scott, Scott, at DVC, bay-rental.com. I'm always around. If you want to chat, any questions or anything, please let me know.
Gotcha. So you didn't mention it much, so we're going to go and mention it now, and I'm going to do it for you. Scott also is the owner, the president, the hardest worker for buy and sell DVC and DVC-rental. You can both rent DVC properties, or if you feel like purchasing DVC through the resale market or selling your DVC contract, he can help you with both of those as well, too. Did I get those right, buddy?
Absolutely. That's perfect.
All right. So again, for downloading and listening today, we appreciate that. We'd like to thank you. My name is Chris, and this is Scott Ferrioli, and have a great day.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to today's show. Sometimes we end the show with bloopers or outtakes just to make you smile. But today we wanted to go and end the show with some thank yous. We wanted to thank everybody this year for all your wonderful comments and your likes and shares of the show. It really does help the show grow. If you've left a review for us, we appreciate that as well, too. When you leave a review for us, essentially it just moves us up in the show rankings of whatever podcast platform you listen to. And moving us up just gets us bigger visibility and essentially just goes and puts our show in new audiences' ears. And hopefully we make them smile as well, too. We also want to thank everyone who supported us through our Patreon campaign. The way to find us on Patreon is patreon.com/thedubs. So for Alan Nastali, Andrea Harrison, B. Thaxton, Chris Walker, Cindy Ellicott, Jamie Price, Jen Bachman, Jeremy Murray, Jessica Berry, Jesus Crespo, Katrina and Tyler Lee, Megan Brower, Michael and Christina Black, Pat Kirsch, Rick Forbes, Rod Hall, Scott Gerke, Scott Ferrioli, Tamara Spidel, and Tim Van Swole. All I can do is say thank you. Your support means the world to us. And again, if donating to Patreon is not your thing, that's completely cool. We appreciate your continued support. And if you can, share the show, continue to like us. It does help get our show in new listeners' ears. If there's anything we can ever do for you, please, again, reach out to us, contact us on the WW Review Facebook page, or through EDCOT, which is our listener group on Facebook, or through Instagram or Twitter. Again, thank you. Happy holidays, everybody.